Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News on 91.7 WHUS Stores. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run TV station, UCTV. My name is Rita, and I am your host this week. I'm the WHUS Operations Manager, and I've been a DJ for over 2 years now. My music show runs on Thursdays at 4 p.m., and I play mostly indie rock music. I'm super excited to be back on Husky Nation News. This is my fourth time on the show and my second time as host. With me today is my guest, J.R. Specs, a UConn senior and hip-hop musician. We will talk about his brand new song, Get You Geeked, and how UConn has influenced his music career later in the show. But first, here's the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. Beginning on March 1st, UConn will begin to offer campus tours for admitted students for the fall 2021 semester. This comes after about a year of only virtual campus tours. These new in-person tours are being offered at the store's campus only, and everyone must wear masks and maintain physical distancing. These tours will also only cover the outdoor spaces on campus. Daily Campus correspondent Amanda Kiliak talked with Nathan First, the Vice President of Enrollment Planning and Management at UConn. He said the ability to tour the campus in person is extremely important for incoming students when determining the school they will attend in the fall. These tours will operate under all safety measures set out by the state of Connecticut and UConn and will stop if it becomes unsafe to continue. It's the season of elections here on the UConn campus. This past Tuesday, the six candidates for the UConn student government president and vice president discussed their platforms over Zoom. Daily Campus reporter Daniel Drainville writes that the presidential candidates Christine Horquera, Mason Holland, and Nicholas Xenofontos debated some of the most important topics for UConn students, including the growing mental health crisis among college students, the newly appointed position of Chief Diversity Officer within USG, and the increased political tension on campus, including the calls to defund the UConn police and the incidents of hate speech seen on campus in the past year. Following the same structure from the fall semester, all students will return home permanently on April 11th. Daily Campus correspondent Sam Katz reports that this change in the spring academic calendar pushes spring break back to begin on April 11th and prohibits students from returning to campus after break as to prevent an outbreak of COVID-19 on campus. Some students seem to be frustrated by this change. One Reddit user posted a poll to the UConn subreddit asking if students would rather skip spring break and end the semester early or take the week off. Out of the 650 respondents, 54% said that they would rather skip spring break and stay on campus until the end of the semester. This comes from complaints of an often unstable and inconsistent learning environment at home versus on campus, and the lack of COVID-19 safe activities to do during spring break. Now for the featured news package of the week, our very own WHUS news correspondent Nicholas Hellinghausen has a recap of UConn baseball's weekend in Charlottesville.
The University of Connecticut baseball team opened their season this past weekend in Charlottesville when they took on the 16th-ranked University of Virginia. UConn was coming off of an 8-5 record during the abbreviated 2020 season. Ben Kasparius faced off against Andrew Abbott in a battle of two aces in Game 1 of the series. This was Kasparius' debut on the mound for UConn as he transferred from the University of North Carolina after the 2019 season. Kasparius and Abbott each had a great outing in what turned out to be a pitcher's duel. Zach Buechling started the top of the first with a single to right field for UConn and was able to reach third, but Abbott struck out Kyler Fedko to prevent the shortstop from scoring. UVA, on the other hand, was able to score a run in the bottom of the first inning when Kasparius hit Logan Michaels with a pitch while the bases were loaded. After this little hiccup, the UConn ace notched his second strikeout to end the inning. Both pitchers were beautifully executing all of their pitches and were causing the opposing offense to struggle mightily. UVA was able to secure a second run in the third inning, following an RBI groundout by outfielder Alex Tappan to go up 2-0. The fourth and fifth innings saw both Kasparius and Abbott retire their first three batters faced. The starters recorded two outs against their first two batters in the sixth inning before each team went to the bullpen. Kasparius pitched 5.2 innings and recorded six strikeouts. He only allowed four hits and two runs during his time on the mound. Abbott also went for 5.2 innings, letting up only two hits and no runs. The bullpens for each team continued the dominant pitching performances. The only run that either team scored on the bullpens came on a home run from UConn's first baseman, Reggie Crawford, in the seventh inning. UConn was only able to muster up one hit against the Virginia bullpen and three hits across the entire game. Despite a solid outing from Kasperius, he picked up the loss as UConn fell 2-1 in the opening game of the series. UConn bounced back the following afternoon and leveled the series following a high-scoring game. The first three innings started slowly as there were 11 strikeouts and no runs scored. The Huskies were the first to get on the board during the top of the fourth after third baseman Chris Brown cracked a 2-RBI single to center field. UVA was able to take the lead in the fifth inning following a 3-RBI double from first baseman Zach Giloff. The lead didn't last long though as UConn posted 4 runs to start the sixth. Christian Fedko, Kieran Deveney, Crawford, and Brown were all able to reach home during this frame, giving the Huskies a 6-3 lead. The momentum would switch once again during the bottom of the seventh as UConn threw in a couple of wild pitches and passed balls that enabled UVA to tie things up at 7. Heading into the bottom of the ninth, the Huskies held a 10-7 advantage and were closing in on their first victory of the season. Virginia was able to cut the lead down to 1, but UConn secured a pop-up from Max Cottier to seal the game 10-9. The rubber game on Sunday saw UConn's Jimmy Wang face off against Virginia's Mike Vassell. UVA notched 3 hits in the opening inning and was able to score 2 runs off of them. The next score change would occur in the third, when each team recorded a run, bringing the score to 3-1 in favor of Virginia. From this point on, both teams combined for only 8 hits. UVA was able to win the series with a 4-2 victory in Game 3 and moved to 2-1 on the season. The Huskies can take away many positives from their weekend in Charlottesville. They were able to take a game from the extremely talented and nationally ranked Virginia squad. Although UConn was unable to walk away with victories in Games 1 and 3, their pitchers displayed incredible toughness and versatility. The Husky batters will look to cut down on their strikeouts when they travel to Hattiesburg this upcoming weekend for an away series against the University of Southern Mississippi. From WHUS News, this is Nicholas Hellinghausen. Have a great one.
Thanks, Nick. It's great to hear sports on the radio again. I feel like we've gone so long without broadcasting sports, and it feels great to have it back on the air. It feels like we're taking a step back to normal life. Now we are going to get into the weather for this weekend. Today will be sunny with a high near 38 degrees, with a slight chance of showers tonight between 9 and 11. Tomorrow, there's a chance of snow early in the morning before 8 a.m., and then rain after 9 a.m. It'll be mostly cloudy otherwise, with a high of 46 degrees. Then on Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of around 49 degrees, with a chance of showers Sunday night, moving into Monday. Overall, a warmer weekend. Maybe just stay inside on Saturday. All right, you're listening to 91.7 WHUS Stores. This is Husky Nation News, and we're going to move on into the talk segment now. From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. So our guest today is J.R. Specs, a UConn senior and hip-hop artist. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. How's everybody doing? As Rita was saying, my name is J.R. Specs. I'm a hip-hop recording artist, and I'm a senior. And I've been kind of active in like the UConn music community for a few years now, and I'm coming out with one of my last releases as a student here, so we kind of wanted to just talk about it a little bit, I guess.
Awesome. So do you want to just kind of start off by explaining with like what led you to start making music, and you know, what was your career like before you got to UConn?
Yeah, so I first started recording in middle school. Honestly, like, just to be perfectly candid, it kind of just started as a thing that I was doing for attention, to be honest, because I was like 12 or 13. So, you know, you want to do something cool to, I was like a short kid. I wanted to be like cool, whatever. I was like, oh, I'm gonna like sing, but I wasn't like very good at singing, didn't know how to play the guitar. So I was like, oh, I could probably rap. So I was a pretty good writer. So I started doing that. And then obviously you kind of grow up, and it's not so much about like doing it for lack of a better word, like clout or anything like that anymore, but you just fall in love with it because it's so fun to kind of just make things in your spare time, whether you come out with them or not, you know. Because since middle school, like, I've been recording music, you know, on my own time, and I release some of it, but there's all kinds of stuff, you know, I just do for my own enjoyment and to kind of get my thoughts out, you know. So that was how it started.
Right. So, do you want to kind of explain like what your musical and performance style have like are now and like kind of how they've evolved since then?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was really young, like just starting out in like 8th grade, it was kind of like, oh, you listen to a lot of like I was listening to Eminem and like Royce 5'9" and a lot of rappers that are really just focused on like just rapping and like being clever and rhyming as many words as possible in every line. And that kind of, so there's like a lot of like competitive kind of like aspects to that where like you want to say you're the best, you want to sound like the best, whatever. And that was how I kind of like came up. But as I kind of made music more and more and got, was playing jazz in school and was kind of broadening my horizons as just a listener of music, and listening to more, more pop stuff, more neo soul stuff outside of just listening to people like rapping as hard as they can. I kind of started to, dabble more in like love songs, dabble more in like dancier sounds. So I think now I've left a lot of things behind that kind of like said that, motivated me to make music in the first place. But now it's like I kind of just like to make things that, in my mind, it's like I want to try to make something that a crowd can enjoy without making something that's cookie cutter, if that makes sense. Because I think there's a line to be towed there. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Cool. So I know in summer of 2020 you released your like was that your debut album or was it just like a your like a new
I don't know if I'd call it a debut because I mean, it was an album, but looking back, I mean, I think kind of going forward, I'm going to be classifying the projects that I've done as mixtapes just because they were kind of recorded at my house. They're not really like studio albums. But as far as that goes, that was, I would say, the second one. There was Yellow, which I did 2 years ago in 2019 as a sophomore. And that was pretty well received. And then so I came back and did another one this past summer in quarantine called 99 Daydream. Yeah, so I would say it's like the second mixtape that I came out with, kind of.
What did you say that like inspired your most recent release, or how are they connected in any way?
Yeah, well, they are kind of connected. Just in terms of the timeline was kind of weird. So back in January of 2020, like right before the pandemic kind of like kicked into gear, I was starting to do like real shows for the first time. Like I was finally like getting paid to do a show or two. And I did a small show in my hometown or near my hometown, Bangor, Maine. And I had just recorded Getcha Geeked in like December of 2019. So I played the song there and the crowd like really liked the song. So I was like, oh, this is dope. I really want to put this out. And then like pretty soon after that, just a couple months later, we get sent home from school. So I'm just at my parents' house and I have a lot of time to record on spring break and everything because I wasn't traveling, obviously. So I had Getcha Geeked and then I started to record kind of these narrative songs for this 99 Daydream album that was about my childhood. But I felt like Getcha Geeked wasn't really fitting because it's so more like kind of like a freestyle or just bragging and just getting bars off instead of talking about life. So at one point it was going to be on the album, but I just kind of felt like I was shoehorning it in. So I held on to it. And now here we are, like a year and a half later, essentially. And I'm finally putting out because I feel like it's a more opportune time. So yeah, it was kind of connected in a way, but.
So Getcha Geek was released on Wednesday, and I've seen a lot of the visuals that you've been posting on social media are very like thematic. They all have like that, apricot theme. So do you want to kind of just like explain your artistic vision behind that and maybe start off by like describing the visuals for the listeners who haven't seen it yet?
Yeah, absolutely. So the theme was kind of inspired by at the time, end of 2019 through first half of 2020, I was doing a lot of stuff with just incorporating like real sounds from videos that I happen to have on my phone or Snapchat into my songs just to kind of give it a personal touch and kind of give it an extra dimension. So at the time I was just like, oh, let me put some funny soundbite of my friends in here just to, just to give it that extra touch. So I was looking through my Snap memories and I found this video of my friends Sam and Wyatt arguing because Sam was saying that apricots are dried peaches. Like he was making this analogy, like how raisins are dried grapes, apricots are dried peaches. And we were trying to convince him, like tell him that's not true, like apricots are just a fruit. So it was funny and it was random, but I happened to just put it at the end of the song And timing wise, I thought it worked really well, and it kind of matched with, like, the beat's got some zany effects in it, and the lyrics have some zany parts. So it was a little random, but it kind of gave it a nice vibe, just attack on the end. So originally the song was called Getcha Geeked, and in parentheses, Apricots, when I made the rough draft. We kind of scrapped that from the title, but we just thought it would be a nice, like, homage to how the song came together, to make that, like, the visual theme, because we're trying to work on, like, branding and making it all look like one thing now, you know? So, yeah.
All right. So kind of moving into, like, the next topic is, you know, like, you've talked about how UConn has done a lot to, like, build your career and, like, influence, like, who you work with. So I was just kind of wondering what opportunities and communities you specifically had at UConn. And, you know, what UConn introduced you to in terms of, like, the music industry.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing that UConn gave me was, in terms of personal lessons, number one, I kind of just learned how to reach out to other people and work and accept help, because I was kind of trying to do everything by myself when I got here. As far as specific opportunities, I mean, I sophomore year, I kind of, like, picked myself up and was like, I'm going to go talk to some people finally and stop, you know, kind of being by myself making music. And I joined UConn Entertainment Group, which had just started fall of my sophomore year. And I met Jacob Stockman, who's now, like, part of my team through that, because he's the president of UEG. And that was really great because, you know, we had some small shows that we put together at the beginning, which honestly have become a little bigger in scope. We did get to do a distance showcase this past fall, which was really cool for that club. So yeah, UEG, definitely anybody that's interested in music at WUS, outside of WUS, like, anywhere, go be involved. Even if you're not an artist, like, we always need, especially because I'm graduating, like, I really want to put this message out there. We need anybody who's, you know, a lover of music or a lover of business or a lover of both to, like, be involved with UEG and kind of help our student artists get their name out there. But that's been the biggest thing is having that community of creators, and also just meeting, you know, through that, you know, I've worked with Eric Wang a lot. I've worked with Maggie Chafalais. I've worked with Jacob Perogue. And these are all kind of just people that, like, it felt like dominoes kind of from joining clubs and things like that, that you meet the next person and the next person. And if you're putting in the work, like, they might kind of see the vision, you know what I'm saying?
So you mentioned UEG a lot. Do you want to kind of just explain, like, what it is to anyone who might not be familiar with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking that too, because I probably should have touched on that a little more. But UEG is, UEG started out as what was supposed to be a student record label. It was kind of involving, like, originally, you know, it was a club, and we would kind of partner with a few artists at a time. In the first semester, you know, myself, this jazz band, The Commentary, who I think are not really active on campus as much anymore, and Kids That Fly were the original roster. And it was kind of like we would put our heads together and help come up with ideas on how to throw shows, how to promote new music and things like that. Over the course of the last few years, you know, it was a very young club, so we've kind of tried to restructure it in a way that makes more sense, maybe gets the word out more, maybe involves, you know, more people in the process and doesn't, you know, because there's been points we've had to figure out, like, how can we involve more people but still put out a great product and not be turning people away, because we want all these student artists to come be involved. But really, what it is now is it's a great networking opportunity. You come, you meet producers, you meet people who know how to make your social media look better. You just meet people with ideas. And you can kind of gain support and I think really level up your own music and your promotion of the music through just kind of meeting people. So things like UEG and joining WUS are great for that.
Yeah. And like both of those groups on campus are like really great for just learning about the music industry and like the whole business side of the music industry. And it gives you like a really good place to network, because that networking is like the one thing that's like the biggest part of like pursuing music professionally on like either side, as like production or as business. So that's like a really good thing about that club. So you've talked a lot about like different people that you've met in different like communities that you've like built on UConn, like at UConn specifically for like music. So how have they contributed to Getcha Geeked in your most recent single released on Wednesday?
Absolutely. That's I love the answer to this question, because it's really, this is the first time we've kind of done something as a team musically. I mean, for 99 Daydream, my good friend Eric Wang, who does a good, you know, most of my visual stuff for photo video, he was helping me put together promos and all kinds of stuff. But now for Get You Geeked, you know, I have a couple guys who manage me. I have Jacob, who's been involved with my digital marketing for a long time. I have Eric, who's kind of my, you know, like videographer and editor. And I have Jacob Perogue. I have Maggie Chaffaleas, who do photography for me. I have Mike Caricelli and Caleb White, who help with like creative direction and animation and stuff like that. So it's kind of just, it's taken a huge weight off my shoulders to know that there's people who want to be involved and will put work in. And, you know, it really, really helped me present it in the right way, because there's been times when I've been like, oh, this is a great song, but I just don't, me personally, I don't have the skills or capabilities to present this and do it justice. So people have, you know, really helped me out in ways that I'm grateful for. So yeah, it's been a team effort for sure.
Yeah, it's like, it's really great to see these like connections built at UConn, and just like seeing like this type of art that can come out of it. It's really, it's inspiring for a lot of people, I'm sure. So everything that you've done like at UConn is great, but you're a senior, and you know, that's pretty scary for a lot of people. So what would you say your plans are for after graduation? Are you planning on pursuing your music career full time? And like, if yes, like what would you say is your first step?
Yeah. So, that's obviously a complicated one. You know, that's complicated for anybody who's not going to pursue music too. It's just, you know, we're all graduating, and that's always hard. We're all graduating into, you know, the tail end of a pandemic, obviously too, which is extra tough. I would say my outlook on it, as best I can put it, is I know that I feel what I want to do with my life is be as creative as possible as often as possible. And whether that the end goal is creating music, writing music, recording music, producing music, any of that, it could be. But what the first step is going to be, I have no idea, but I do know between where I am now and where I'm going to be, I just want to be, you know, expressing myself, you know. And I think everything else in between, as long as you try your best every day and you are not scared to get after what you want, will figure itself out one by one. That's kind of my view.
If coronavirus wasn't a thing, how would you, like, would that change your steps after graduation? Would you plan on like touring or like looking at some sort of live performance? And like, what would your vision be for a live performance if you were able to have one?
I mean, that's a really good question, first of all. I don't know where I would be if the pandemic hadn't happened, just because I don't know how different the last 9 months or however long it's been would have been, you know? Because the pandemic, as much as it's hurt in terms of booking shows, at the very beginning, it gave me a lot of extra time to record. So that was, you know, part of how my album came together, came together, part of how, you know, some of my biggest songs, Turf, Baby Knock Me Down, came together. So yeah, I don't know. If there was no pandemic, I might not have had that music, but yeah, I might have done some type of small tour stuff this summer. I might have, you know, played more shows, might be playing shows now, which would be taking more time away from school. So, you know, maybe it's for the best, but yeah, I don't know. If there's no pandemic, and there eventually it'll be done. We'll just have to see what happens, I guess. I'm going to keep sticking my neck out there, though.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of your live performances through, like, you know, WHUS Battle of the Bands, like the showcase that you were talking about. And I've noticed that you've always brought in a lot of, like, different types of people and, like, lots of different types of musicians to perform with you. What were some of your, like, favorite types of people to, like, bring in? I've noticed you, like, brought in, I think, was it, like, a bass player, like a upright bass player, and like, you know,
sax. Yeah. That's actually really interesting how some of my live performances and groups have come together. It's always been myself and my drummer Max Meether, who goes to the University of Hartford. We both are from Maine, but we both go to school here, you know, about half an hour apart. So anytime I needed a live band for a show, I would hit up Max. You know, the first time it was like, Max, do you know any guys that might want to play some hip hop? And, you know, he had friends, and we would kind of put a group together. You know, he's got a buddy, Nigel, who's, you know, now my buddy as well, who plays the saxophone, Nigel Regan. the upright bass player that we had on was Conway Campbell, and his brother Cameron when we did the live session, you know, on FM. I've played with Nate Porter recently, another bassist who's really dope. I've played with Pat Donnelly recently, who's a guitar player that's really dope. So it's kind of just been a blessing to have, you know, a good friend who's in a really astute jazz program nearby. It's kind of just been like, well, I have no choice but to, there's all these talented people who can pick up my music quickly, you know, so I might as well kind of take it in a jazzier direction for the live performances, which is dope, because it's been, that's naturally pretty improvisational in nature. It's encouraged me to kind of like, you know, move the songs off the cuff, like give somebody a longer solo, maybe freestyle a little. I'm trying to work that in. So yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah, I think jazz is definitely something that, I mean, I haven't really seen blended with hip hop that often. So it's definitely something unique and really interesting to see in live performances.
Thank you.
So yeah, that was all the questions that I have. Do you have any closing thoughts or anything you want to mention before we end it?
Honestly, all I really want to say is just thank you to you, Rita, and everybody else at WUS and the Daily Campus and elsewhere that's, you know, helped me get the word out about this new music. And I guess I'll just end with Get You Geeked is out everywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever now. And that's it, I guess. Thank you.
Thanks so much, JR Specs, for coming on and having this interview with us for Husky Nation News. We do have Get You Geeked, a clean version that we're going to play right now. Enjoy.
Bruh. Geeked out, I could get you geeked. All the drums with the bass now. Pull up to the back with some boys. We're in H-Town. Never been to tech since you're f***ing with that main star. Said he got game. Homie, I could get you rained out. She want me to slay. Homie, I could get you reindeer. Pull up with the bag. I'm so cold that it don't rain here. Just like Arizona, baby. Sweeter than my iced tea. Half and half. Bring a friend, how exciting. She want me, and it's in her eye like a high beam. Been a boss, I was dropping shit when I was 5'3. Naked wrist, I don't need a watch. Fuck the timing. I recall someone said I'm wet, they were lying.
Well, how do you do it,
JR? Oh, I'm so devastated right now. You just told me so much. Dude, where's the
I'm on that venomous, you on that cinnamon sweet, you on that sesame street. I'm on the top of my bed, my sesame seed. I get up and get it with ease. Woo, take it like podcast, girl. I'd like to invite you to pop that. Check the stats, homie. Got the raps, homie. Do it bad for me, get a call back. Push that like easy button, no staples, just beginning shit. BLT at the house, so see with me just a little bit. Wild shot like Iggy Pop, make city rock. I'm so shifty. Write the verse up too quickly, then hit the sack, it's too fit.
Get down, I could get you geeked. Off the drums with the bass now. Pull up to the back with some boys. We're in H-Town. Never been to tech since you're f***ing with that main star. City got game, homie, I could get you rained out. She want me to slay, homie, I could get you reindeer. Pull up with the bag, I'm so cold that it don't rain here. Just like Arizona, baby, sweeter than my iced tea. Half and half, you can bring a friend, how exciting.
My grilled peaches don't even insult me.
No, I don't.
Thanks again to our guest for this week, JR Specs. That was his brand new single, Get You Geeked, which was released this Wednesday, and it's out everywhere now. And that brings me to the end of the show this morning. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Rita. If you want to hear more from me, my weekly music show, Lo-Fi Radio, runs on Thursdays at 4 p.m. here on 91.7 WHUS Stores. Thanks again for listening to Husky Nation News every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great day.